I wonder if we could turn in our Bibles today to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I'll just begin in the first verse. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. Let me just take our time and go through some of these verses here. This coming of the Lord is the parousia of the Lord. This is His real coming. This is where He's coming. The parousia is a very special Greek word that we really don't have a equivalent English word for. There are actually about four or five Greek words that are translated into English as coming. Okay, and they all kind of mean a little bit different. Something different. But this is the coming. This is the coming where every eye shall see Him. This is the coming, the sounding of the trumpets. Amen. We're talking about the coming of trumpets next month. Okay. And this is the Feast of Tabernacles, actually, that is going to be celebrated at this time. Okay. Now, we're talking about, I didn't intend to talk about the Feast of Tabernacles, but I'll just mention it here. This coming, we're putting it in context here of what I'm talking about, okay? This is the day when He comes and He gathers the saints together. And you find that verse of the gathering of the saints in Matthew 24:31. Let me just read it real quickly. I said 24, what verse? 31, yeah. It says, And He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So this is the time of the great gathering. Now, this, let me just say this. Again, I didn't intend to say this, but let me say this. This is not a description of pre-tribulation rapture. It is not, it cannot be. There's nothing about this parousia that is pre-tribulation. It is totally at the end of all the tribulation. It's all over with by the time this gathering comes. There is no other great gathering of the sky of any kind until this happens. It says we're going to be gathered from the four winds, from the four, shall we say, the four corners of the earth. Oh, you know, the earth doesn't have four corners. But there are four directions. There's north, east, south, and west. So you say, well, Brother Mark, if I'm in the west, something in the east. If I'm in the east, the same thing is west of me. So no, we're talking about the totality of every one of the elect. And by the way, this is one of those words that mention the elect. But for the elect's sake, yes, those days will be shortened. Now, you see, you can't take the word elect at one place in Matthew 24 and say, well, this verse here, this verse only applies to the Jews. But over here it applies to all the saints. No, you can't do that. The elect is the elect. They are those who are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Alright, so back to Thessalonians. We see that it is by our gathering together unto Him. Now, the second verse. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Okay. Now, he says there are two things that we are not to be. Okay? We are not to be troubled, and we are not to be shaken. Okay? What is shaken? What does shaking mean?
Fearful.
Well, shaking is something that's moved about and becomes unstable.
Yeah.
Right? If you're sitting on a flagpole or something and I come and I start shaking that thing, it's going to be very troubling for you, isn't it? And you'll become very unstable. So he's saying, we don't want you to be shaken in your mind. Now, how do you prevent being shaken in your mind? Okay? Your mind is what? Fixed on what?
The Lord.
Fixed on the Word of God. Yes. So if you know the Word of God, you fix your mind on what the Word of God says. And somebody comes along and says something different, you say, no, that is not what the Word of God says. So when we're talking about deception, and we still are talking about deception, by the way, this is another lesson on deception. You will not be deceived if you know the Word of God and if you know what God intended to be saying by His Word. Okay? So don't be shaken in mind or troubled. Okay? Let me go back to Matthew 24 again for a minute, because there's another word there. That word troubled appears there in verse 6. Let me just find verse 6 in Matthew 24. It says, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." In other words, you see things, bad things happening in the earth. Bad things, worse things are happening every year. Even though it may not be just war. It may be what the government is doing to try to suppress the faith. Try to suppress the Word of God. Try to track down people that are preaching the Word of God. They're doing this in China. By the way, what was the term I read the other day? It's called social score. People in China are getting a social score. And they're being watched. By the way, China has got more cameras out than anybody ever thought of. If there's anything that is attracting the market in China, it's cameras. And they're watching everybody. And now if you're a Christian, if you go to a place where the Word of God is preached, it's like your credit score. You got a bad score. And if they find out that you don't believe, in other words, here we go with the thought police again. Did you ever read 1984? The thought police. I mean, they were the worst ones. In all the land, the thought police. And they had developed a technique of listening to you. Oh, by the way, they had telescreens. Television. They called that a telescreen. This was written in the 1940s. Okay? And the thing went two ways. The things were watching you while you were watching it. And you didn't dare turn it off. You did not dare turn it off. Because if you turned it off, the thought police would be coming after you. Anyway, we're talking about being troubled, and we're talking about the things that are going on in our land. But there's worse things going on in our churches. Amen? So let me go on. Don't be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter. All right, so we are not to be troubled by spirit. How do you prevent being troubled by a spirit? Anybody help me out here? How are you not troubled by a spirit?
Call upon the name of the Lord.
Okay, and what kind of spirit would it be that would be troubling you? Is the Holy Spirit going to trouble you with these things?
No.
No, these are demonic spirits. So we are not, we rid our soul of every influence of unclean spirit. Okay? Purge out every possible hold that the enemy would have upon our soul. If we've got any addiction that is unclean, if we've got any thought process that is unclean, amen? If we've got anything in our mind that yearns for the lust of the eye, the pride of life, the things of this world, purge it out, because if there's anything there, this is what is that stuff that they use to close shoes now?
Velcro.
It's the Velcro thing. If you've got the fuzzy little woolly thing here, you've got ground, and the enemy comes with this little side with the little hooks, and if he comes to hook you, you get hooked. Now, if you've got nothing but smooth as stainless steel, they come with that Velcro thing. It doesn't stick. It doesn't hold. There is no hold that he has on you. So, Brother Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is saying to the Thessalonians here, don't be troubled either by spirit or by word. Amen. By word means what?
What is said to you.
What is said, and what is said in the Word of God trumps any other word that anybody else is going to say. So we know the Word of God, we know the Spirit of God, amen, or by letter. All right. So in other words, something written by somebody, which is books and articles and newsletters and what have you. You know, everybody's got one of these today. Everybody that's anybody, haven't they?
A book.
Or a publication. Or a monthly or a quarterly something. And I'm not saying they're bad. They're not all bad. But be careful, because a lot of these things have got a little bit of a twist of something that isn't right in it. Okay? Now, what was the whole point of Paul saying, don't be troubled, don't be shaken? In other words, he's saying, don't buy the idea that the day of the Lord has already come. Now, what does he mean by the day of the Lord? What is the meaning in Scripture of this term, the day of the Lord?
The coming of the Lord.
Okay, it has multiple layers of meanings.
Yes.
Did you know Scripture has many layers of,
yes,
well, at least three layers that we know of?
Four.
Okay, the first would be the natural day of the Lord, which is the parousia that we just described. He's coming in the heavens, okay, a great shout of an angel, you know, sound of a trumpet, every eye shall see. Yes, that's the day of the Lord. But you know what? The day of the Lord is also a period of time. The great and terrible day of the Lord. Where is that? Is that in the book of Joel? The great and terrible day of the Lord? I think it's in Joel. But
maybe Amos too.
Amos possibly too, yeah. So now, when we're talking about the great and terrible day of the Lord, we're talking about a season of time, aren't we? So in specifically, if you're talking about a great and terrible day of the Lord, all right, we're talking about a day of great tribulation. Now, Jesus came, and he, in Matthew chapter 4, right? No, was it Matthew 4 or Mark 4? No, it's Mark 4. Or it could be Luke 4. Let me go look at it. Where he stood up, I'm going to go to Luke 4, where he stood up in the synagogue in that day, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. It would be Mark 4, I believe.
Luke 4.
Luke 4?
Yeah.
Did you find it already?
I
went right past it in Luke 4. Why did I miss it? I'm looking... No.
10:1, maybe.
No, that was something else he read from Isaiah. Wait a minute now. No, you're right. You're right. It is Luke 4. Okay. Here's where he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. That means if you're locked up and you're captivated, he's going to bring release to you. And by the way, I believe he can bring natural release to people who are natural prisoners too. Amen. If they repent and turn to the Lord. Recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, he stopped at that point. But if you go back to Isaiah, there was more in that. Where did he read from?
51.
50. Isaiah what?
51.
Isaiah 60,
I think. Let's go back to Isaiah 60. Because he left something out.
61.
61? Yeah, here it is. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of... And the day of vengeance of our God. Alright? He left that out. Now, is God allowed to do that?
Yeah.
Yes, he is. Because he's the one that wrote it. He's the one that spoke it. So he didn't say anything in his first coming about the day of vengeance. But there is coming. In other words, the full passage of Isaiah is still going to be fulfilled. There is coming a great day of the Lord in which there will be a day of vengeance, a day of recompense. Amen? A day of payback, shall you say. Now, I'm putting it all in context. So he's saying, don't buy. Now this is 2,000 years ago. Paul is writing to the church and he's saying, don't buy the rumor that the day of the Lord has already come and we're already living in the millennium.
Gee.
Do you know there's people still believe that today? That we're living right now in the millennium? Do you ever run into people like that, Larry?
I haven't, but Steve has.
Yeah. There's people that do. Amen? Okay, so let's go on. And he says now, let no man deceive you. Okay, here's that word that keeps cropping up in this teaching. This word, I tell you, is so interwoven throughout the whole Bible. The Old Testament, the prophets, the New Testament. The example we gave last week and the week before about Ahab and his deception, how Jehoshaphat was, for a while Jehoshaphat was deceived by it all. How did he get deceived like that? Well, he had marriage, intermarriage from Ahab's side of the family into his own household.
Yes, so cool.
What?
He had Velcro.
He got caught. He got hooked. Now, sooner or later, he learned, and he wasn't deceived. But here is Paul, by the Holy Spirit, saying the same thing that Jesus said, I believe, at least three times in Matthew 24, let no man deceive you. And he said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. All right, let's stop right here. Do you believe that great day of the Lord can have come now? Okay, why not? Paul said there are two things that have to happen before the parousia, before that great gathering of the Lord, before the great sound of the trumpet. Two things that have to happen before he can come. See, there's a sequence. There's an order of things. What is the first thing that had to happen?
Falling away.
The great falling away. Okay? Now, has that been fulfilled?
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, it has.
Not enough.
Not enough, she says.
Absolutely. Well,
there'll always be more. But the church, as a church, has fallen away.
It's only cooling down.
Oh, it's cooling down.
We haven't even seen yet. It's cooling down.
Well, there will be greater expression of it.
But I mean, I don't want it to be, but I can't deny it.
Let's look at the history of the church for a minute. The church remained basically pure most of the time, mostly through the days of the living apostles. Okay? Now, we know that this apostasy, and I'll give you a good definition of that in a minute. We know that this apostasy, the seeds of it were already here when the last apostles were still here. Paul warned. He must have seen signs. The Holy Spirit must have been showing Paul signs. He warned against, the day will come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but with itching ears they will turn to those who are going to preach fables and just something to itch your ears. Well, what is it that itches people's ears today?
Entertainment in the church.
In other words, rap music in the church. Rock music in the church. What else?
The wrong doctrine just to make it.
What else itches your ears? Yeah. Well, how about that you can have prosperity of money? Just send me a check for $50 and the Lord will bless you for $50,000 within 50 weeks. I mean, these are the tricks that some of these guys use.
Prosperity.
That's the prosperity doctrine. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole list of today, but if you look at, for instance, the verse we read of third epistle of John. What was the guy's name? Loveth the preeminence. Oh my! Why can't I remember that guy's name? Diotrephes. Rita, you're a wonderful name. Remember, God bless you. Diotrephes loveth the preeminence. Okay. In other words, now we had a pastor who was acting like a bishop over some of the churches that John was writing to. And he said he will not allow the people that I send to come. He will not allow the word that I write to be spoken in his fellowship. And anyone that wants to hear what I have to say. I'm an apostle, by the way. I walked with Jesus. I was the one that leaned on his breast at the Last Supper. I know the Master. I know him very personally. But no, Diotrephes doesn't want to hear it. And he doesn't want to let anybody else hear it. And he's going to kick them out if they want to hear it. So you see, these things were already being embedded in the church. So Diotrephes, I would say, is probably the first one who was beginning to take on this Nicolaitan spirit of that he was above the other people. In other words, a clergy above a laity. And before the time even of Constantine, this thing was being well established. I'll call it monarchical bishopric in the church. You know what a monarchical bishop is? A bishop that acts like a monarch, a king. So it's been a while since I've read these things, but I know that by the year 300, what was it, 302 or 313, I think it was, when Constantine called this great convention of ministers, there were several hundred, I forget the number, I'll say 300, there were at least 300 bishops that came to that meeting. And they were beginning to take lordship over the saints of God. Now, what else? This is a beginning of a falling away. All right, so the seed of this thing was well planted by the year 300. What else began to come in to the church? The church. Okay? It was first called the church. But you see, now they begin to come up with other doctrines. They begin to come up with infant baptism. They begin to come up with baptismal salvation. They begin to come up with purgatory. And that you can pray somebody out of purgatory by paying the priest. Then they begin to come up with, Mary was not only a virgin, but she was sinless. She never had any sin. Oh, what'd you say?
You want me to say it?
You can.
Changing the day of worship.
Changing the day of worship, that might be, yeah. I don't know. I know that Paul was worshiping, I know, with some of the people on Saturday, the first day of the week. Was it Galatia, where they gathered together? Anyway, Mary, we'll get to Mary. What was falling away? Now they have you praying to saints. They have you praying to Mary. Okay? So these are little things that began to creep in, and there were those who held fast, held true to the true word of God, to the apostles' doctrine, that would not yield and would not bend to those things. Okay? Now, let me take you to some other verses. Well, let me just finish this. He says, the man of sin, the first thing that had to happen was the falling away. Now, I believe, I know, sister, there's going to be more falling away, but I believe that as a body, the mainstream of the body of Christ, the church, has fallen away. And we've heard Brother DeSille say that many, many times. The church has fallen away. But there is a remnant. There is a remnant that will not fall away. There is a remnant that holds fast and holds true to the Word of God. Now, so the first thing that had to happen was the falling away. What was the second thing that had to happen?
Man of sin be revealed.
Man of sin be revealed. Yeah. Is the spirit of the man of sin in the world today?
Yes.
Has his person been revealed yet?
No.
So in other words, we know there's one more thing that has to happen. This man of sin is going to, we will call him the Antichrist, the person of the Antichrist. This will be the rising of the beast. There will be a man who will be representing Satan. See, Satan's a spirit, and he cannot ordinarily manifest himself in a physical manifestation. So he has to use a human manifestation in which he will completely envelop, he will completely take over the soul of that person. This is the man of sin that is going to be revealed. Okay? Now, I'd love to go through the rest of this thing about the man of sin, but let's stick with the apostasy. I promise to give you some definitions. Apostasia, the falling away. What is written in the King James Bible here as the falling away? There shall come a falling away first. I'm going to call it the great falling away, okay? Because it is a great thing, not a great in a wonderful, positive thing, but a great terrible thing, like the atomic bomb is a great thing, but not good, okay? The way it was used. Okay, a great apostasy. Let me give you some definitions. You familiar with the Vines? A man by the name of Vines that wrote okay, here's his definition. Defection, revolt. Let me write them on the board here so we get an idea what we're really talking about. Apostasy, all right? What did I say first?
Defection,
revolt, and what else does Vine have to say here? Forsaking the faith. Okay, tell me something. Has the doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church forsaken the faith?
No, they don't think so.
Do they follow the Word of God?
No,
they do not. Oh, by the way, did you hear the news about apparently he's a local Episcopal bishop? Did you hear that? It was on the news 3 or 4 times last week. No, not Hubbard. No, that's a Catholic. I'm talking about that's a Catholic that's accused of child molestation. an Episcopal bishop. They mention it several times. He's being brought up on charges by the Episcopal Church for his stand on same-sex marriage. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
And I thought, whoa. What is it? He wants to marry same sex? No. They're bringing him up on charges because he says, I won't do it.
Wow. He's real.
Can you imagine? Wow. Is this not an apostatized church? I don't know that the whole Episcopal Church believes that, but I know that many of them are. The Methodist Church is going that way. This is the church started by Wesley. John Wesley.
And you're not going to be able to come against the transgender people either.
Oh, what's his name? The man that was running for president, he got appointed by Trump to be a secretary of interior, the doctor, Ben Carson. Ben Carson. Yeah, he made a comment, just a comment about the transgender thing, that it was a bunch of ridiculousness, and my goodness, these liberals are all over the poor guy. No, I know that's not a church. I'm trying to stick with church, but nevertheless, they represent the belief that is creeping into our land.
Oh yes,
it's creeping into the churches.
And creeping into the churches.
And the laws, if the Christians don't get with it, those laws are going to get passed.
Well, there's laws, there's decisions that are being made, though, surprisingly, that are coming out in support of a person standing with their faith. Surprisingly, there was a judge in Arizona that made a very positive thing. It was in regard to... it wasn't a cake making, but it was some... Oh, it was people who do wedding plans. Photographs, wedding plans, what have you. And the Arizona judge said, no, they don't have to do that if it's against their faith. So we're talking about a defection. When the church is going to bring one of their bishops up on charges, the church has defected, revolted against the purposes of God. God, go back to Genesis. It says he created them male and female. Somewhere I heard this past week on the radio, somebody said, well, do you know if they want to go to the number of genders? There are at least 100 that somebody identified. This one city, somewhere in the Midwest, they wanted to bring it up and make it a law to protect all the genders. And one of the councilmen stood up and said, well, okay, if you're going to do this, I know of at least 30 genders. We're going to have to discuss all 30 of them here in the council meeting. And the rest of them said, oh, forget it. We don't want to bother discussing 30 genders. You know, I'm going back to Genesis. He made them male and female. He didn't make anything more. Male and female. That's what he made. So we're talking about apostasy. Okay, Webster. Abandonment and total desertion. Abandonment, total... desertion. Is there such a thing as partial desertion? It's almost an oxymoron. When you desert something, you desert it, don't you? Okay, when an army soldier deserts the army, he doesn't partially desert. He doesn't leave one foot in the tent and one foot. No, he goes AWOL. He goes bonkers. He's gone. And this is a serious charge if you're in the military. If you revolt, if you're an officer and you decide you're going to bring a revolt against the rest of the military, what's going to happen to this guy? This is what they do when they attempt a coup, isn't it, Larry?
Mm. Except if you have the right administration, then you can get away with it. you're going to be given a time of praise.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the guy that deserted under the Obama administration?
Yeah.
He got away with it.
He got away with it. Well, but he didn't manage to turn the whole military, though, did he? Okay, let's look at some other verses that are relating to this thing. I'm going to go back to Matthew 24, because as far as I'm concerned, well, it isn't just Matthew 24. I don't know why. I somehow fell in love with Matthew 24. The word is in Luke, the word is in Mark, and it's a good word. It just seems to me that it is more complete in Matthew 24. Now, Jesus is predicting that this is going to happen. All right? Let me go down here to verse 10. Okay? Well, let me start in verse 9. He says, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Now, I don't believe Jesus is just talking about the political realm of nations that's going to hate you, okay? I believe that he's talking about the politics of church that's going to hate you. I don't know this bishop. I have no idea who he is. I wish I could meet him sometime. He probably has some odd beliefs that I couldn't agree with. But nevertheless, I'd like to congratulate the man for holding firm, if I ever got to meet him. You know? Somebody should encourage these people. Why did these people go into this ministry? I believe they went in, they were young, they had a love for God, they wanted to do the right thing. They got into one of these colleges or these universities where they begin to train them to doubt the Word of God. You know, they have a term that they use when they study in these seminaries. It's called, it starts with a C. Criticism, critical study of the Word. Did you ever hear that term?
No.
We're going to do a critical study of the Word of God. What that means is that the professor is going to teach them to doubt the Word of God, to criticize it. Why not teach them to have faith to believe what God said? But no, it isn't intellectual unless you can be critical about it.
When I had my born again experience, it was through Jehovah Witnesses coming, and then I went, Arnie said, "Them or me." If they come to my house, I'm out. So I went to the Episcopal priest, Father Gosby in Catskill, because that's where my mother used to go. And I asked him, I said, "What do you think of this Bible and the miracles and the things that the Bible talks of that are going to happen, and Jesus walking on water, and all of those things?" And he said, "You have a book here that has been written and rewritten." He said, "I have books on religion here." He had no faith. He did not know the Lord. Period at the end. Is that amazing? And his people came to my house asking for money because they were failing. But they didn't have faith because they didn't know God. Is that amazing?
Isn't that amazing?
They did not know the Word.
Isn't that amazing? So, I want to go to Matthew 10. I started to read here. Verse 10. "And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." Now, when we're talking about false prophets, we're not talking about politicians generally, although they do try to prophesy, but they don't bill themselves as prophets. Jesus is talking about a religious situation here. And he's talking about a religious situation where he says many will be offended. Now, I want to give you that word, the Greek word, offended, and you're going to be surprised at what it means. I'm going to write it out right here. What's the word? Scandalize. The New Testament word where it says offended, and it's in several other places besides just here in Matthew 24. Remember when Jesus said, woe to those that are offended, woe to those that will offend a little one? Mm-hmm. If you offend a child, even a child as old as Cody, if you offend them by giving them something of the Word of God that is not true, you will be in danger it would be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck and you took a long walk on a short dock with that millstone around your neck, okay, into the sea. So an offense is a scandalization. What do you associate the word scandalize with? Many will be scandalized, is basically what Jesus is saying. It will become a scandal.
False report?
False report.
Undermine. But they choose to walk away.
Yeah.
It's wrong. Their foundation is like ripped out from underneath them, but they choose to go.
You know, I was thinking of beware of anyone who will offend a little one. We taught him something a while back about, he said, well, Grandpa, are we going to have Halloween? Are we going to have this? Are we going to have that? I said, no, Halloween is the devil's holiday. Oh, what about Christmas? Are we going to have lots of presents? I said, Cody, listen, do you really believe that one fat man in a red suit can travel all over the world in one night? I said, no, I don't think so. Well, what about Easter? I said, come on, have you ever seen a big rabbit that runs around laying eggs? No. So he calls his mom last night, had a talk with his mom. Mom, I'm going to tell you something. Please don't be mad at me. Please, promise you won't be mad at me. But this is what Halloween is. This is what, and he goes on and tells her the whole thing. I thought, oh boy. He blamed Grandma for it. Actually, I was the one that told him.
Yeah.
But he blamed Grandma for it.
Yeah.
You listen. These little ones with their souls, they're ready to receive the word of truth.
Mm-hmm.
Give them a little logic to go with it. The fat man in the red suit, I told him, I said, listen, look at our chimney. You think that guy could get down this chimney? No. Grandpa, he wouldn't make it down.
Now we got the little ones on climate change. Believe in that stuff. And they get traumatized.
Yeah, I heard that too. There's special counseling sessions being set up for people that believe the world is going to end in 12 years. Well, it may end. I mean, the day of the Lord may come, but not because of my using my car or turning my electricity on or anything like that.
Didn't they just have a skip day?
Oh, yes. They had a skip day, and the kids went down around Albany, around the one of the big office buildings down there. And
it was all over the world.
It was, but nobody can figure out what their what the strike is about. What are they striking against? Nobody seems to be able to figure that out.
They're striking against automobiles, cows. You know,
oh, cows.
Let's go back to the Dark Ages, the Green New Deal.
Well, I'll bet they would really be happy about getting out in the field with their horses to plow.
Yeah.
They don't see that far ahead. You see how easy it is to deceive people? You know, with this climate change. I think the world's going to end in 12 years.
The Amish will be the only ones that will be growing vegetables in those days. They're out our way everywhere. I see them, my goodness, 12 big, huge Belgian horses pulling a plow in a field. Not 12, I mean four. Four of them. Four big horses pulling a plow. My goodness. And these tractors have about 8 or 10 furrows that they do at one time when they go. No, it isn't going to work. All right, many will be offended. Now, this scandalizo means to entrap, This is the meaning of the Greek word that we call scandalize. To entrap, to trip up. It has a couple other meanings. To trip up. Stumble. Oh, wait a minute. To stumble, yeah, and to stumble. And apostatize, of course. So, what's going to happen? Many will be entrapped, many will be tripped up, and many will stumble. This is the 10th verse here. And they shall betray many, hate many, false prophets, offended. This is what's going to happen to people when they begin to deliver you up, turn you over to the authorities, turn you in, call for your arrest.
It's what the Pharisees did in Jesus' day.
Indeed they did. Yep. And the Pharisees were trying to practice as thought police. They wanted to know what Jesus was thinking. They wanted to know his thoughts. They teased him. They prodded him. They tried to hook him. Are you really? And if they could get him to say whatever they were looking for, okay, he's committed blasphemy. Okay, now let's go to the book of Mark. We've got a few other verses here. And we're going to Mark chapter 13, verse 25. Okay, let's start in verse 24. You see, the same message of Matthew 24 is in Mark and it's in Luke. All right, here it is in Mark 13. Let me just give you a few little tastes here of Mark 13, okay? Verse 14, for instance. You shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, okay? Down here in verse 18. Pray that your flight be not in winter. What do you think that means? You know, when it's natural winter and I get cold and I'm outside and my feet are cold, my hands are cold and everything else, I say, Lord, I don't want to be traveling anywhere like this without being in my car. What does this mean? And so I'm in the natural thinking, but now I need to get myself in a spiritual thinking where I say, Lord, what is spiritual winter? What is spiritual winter? You ever thought of that?
Yeah, I have.
What do you think?
It's when there's a coolness towards the things of God. You know, would you not really in tune with God?
Would you go even?
You don't have that warmth for the love of God.
Would you go even further and say it's not just coolness; it's frozen?
Well, winter depends upon how fierce the winter is, but it's in each person's soul. We have to take it individually. Where are people?
Yeah.
In relationship to God at that time.
Just plain cold.
Definitely a coolness.
Yeah.
God.
Cold.
And also one towards another.
Cold one toward another. People are afraid to love one another. You know, this book, this 1984. I got to hold that book finally. I'm not going to preach from that book, but the thing I'm seeing is that people were afraid to have any personal relationships with anybody else for fear that somebody was a spy, would turn them in and say, ah, I caught him. I caught his thoughts. Turn him into the thought police. You know, as I'm looking at that, what was going on here actually happened in that great land of Russia. And you know what? I believe it's happening in China today. These are places, I don't know how much of it's still going on in Russia, I can't tell. But it did. During Stalin's day, it went on. People were afraid to have relationships. I remember that time that I was in the Moscow on the subway. I'll never forget that time. People would not look at you, and I think this happened in the other Eastern countries too, but especially Russia, because it happened there earlier than it happened in any of the other places. I was riding the Russian Moscow subway, the underground. It's beautiful tile. I mean, it was the only beautiful thing in the subway was the beautiful pictures they had all around, you know, where all that pretty tile was. I got on this subway, and I was to go so many stops down to another place where a brother was going to meet me, and I had a little fellowship going, just a little underground fellowship, you know. And I'm standing because there wasn't much room to sit. And the subway, you know, you've ridden subways, haven't you? They go like this, you know, and you rocking back and forth. So I'm holding on to the pole, and nobody looks at anybody. You get in that subway, nobody makes eye contact. You just come in sour looking and do your business. So I'm looking at my hand, holding this. See, the spirit kind of gets to you. Looking at my hand holding this pole, and I notice underneath my hand is another hand fully as big as my hand. And I'm thinking, I wonder who owns that hand. So I follow the arm, and it's a big Russian woman. I mean, she looked like she'd been out working in the fields, you know, just really a husky, strong looking woman, you know. And I looked at her face. She was 50, 60-ish, blank. I looked at her eyes. She would not look. She would not acknowledge the presence of any other person there. And I thought, my God, this is what this spirit has done to the people of this land. Yeah. It grieved me so. What that spirit has done. Listen, I believe that this is what the Holy Spirit is saying is going to happen to people as these terrible, trying, tribulation days are coming. People are not going to trust one another.
Mark, in the book of The Hiding Place, Cora Ten Boom, they went through the same thing. They would infiltrate somebody into the houses or people that they worked with just to find out what they knew, and if they were Jewish or whatever, they would do the same thing, and the communists would come in, take them, and bring them, you know, where?
Haul them off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, when Jesus made this prophecy, this did not apply, brethren, just to the 1940s or the 1950s.
We know that.
You say, well, that's all over. That's never going to happen again. No, 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 no. I believe people in China are going through the same thing to this day.
Yeah.
They're getting a social score in the same way that you get a score, a credit score, except it's a negative score or a positive. And if they have a low score, one of these Chinese people will say one day, well, I'm going to get on a train, I'm going to go somewhere. He presents himself to the train and says, no, you can't ride the train. You can't go anywhere. Why? Your social score is too low. You don't love the government. You don't love the president. You don't worship the same things that we worship.
That would have been happening here if we had Hillary as president.
Listen, what do you think is all this fuss about Google and Facebook? They are monitoring what you can believe and what you can say. There's your thought police right there. Do you think the government's going to put an end to it? I don't really think so, because the government thinks the same way that Google thinks. I'm sorry, I use Google. I don't love Google. I use them because they're a search engine. There's other search engines that you can use. But I'm not gonna put
the spirit of the world. It's all against God, you know.
Yeah.
All the media.
Yeah. I'm not going to put all my thoughts on Facebook. I don't even have a Facebook. I'm not going to have one. You don't need to know what I had for breakfast or what my thoughts are about supper or anything else. You want to know what I believe? Go to my website. Get the preaching that we're preaching here today. You can find it there. Okay? I'm not ashamed of it. I'm going to say it. Do what you will. So Jesus said, we're getting into Matthew, or getting into Mark. Boy, we're having a hard time. Maybe we'll finish up here in Mark. I'm pointing out a few wonderful things in this chapter of Mark. Verse 19, did I mention that? For in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. Listen, that did not end in 1945. That did not end with the fall of the Iron Curtain. That did not end. That did not end with the death of Mao Zedong and whatever new order came in behind him. That did not end. Jesus is talking about something that is coming that is much worse than anything that ever happened from the beginning of creation. That has not been completely fulfilled. Do you agree, sister?
Of course I do.
Amen. I thought you would.
Of course.
Amen.
Can you imagine? The degree of those things was so terrible, it's been happening throughout the centuries. And whether that Idi Amin in Uganda, crazy satanic people, Stalin, Hitler, Pol Pot in Vietnam, all kinds of terrible things we have had over. And it's very terrible.
Let me wind up here. I want to go to verse 24. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. So there's that word shaken again. Powers of heaven being shaken. Now, take a minute to look at this. What powers of heaven could possibly be shaken? So when we say heaven, we are not meaning the throne of God heaven, are we? In this case. Sometimes it means that. But in this case, the word heaven means a spiritual realm. And if any spiritual realm can be shaken, it is the devil's realm of spiritual realm that is going to be shaken. And when those powers are shaken, brethren, it's going to be very interesting. You know, I think, frankly... Can I say something a little unorthodox? I think the political heavens were shaken in 2016. And I think God allowed it. I think God put his hand in there, he took a hold of that thing, and he said, let's shake things up a little bit. Yeah, I think there's more shaking coming. This is a good kind of shaking, but not every shaking that you're going to see, you're going to say is a good kind of shaking. The devil does not like to be shaken. He does not like to be loosed from his place of dominion and authority over others. He does not like that. He does not like to be shaken out of somebody's soul. Amen. He does not like it when you shake him out of your soul. He does not like it when you shake him out of a child's soul. He does not like it at all. But we're going to shake him out in the name of Jesus. Amen. The powers of heaven shall be shaken, and the stars of heaven shall fall. Now, I'll give you one last definition. The stars of heaven shall fall. The word fall, oh my... Now I'm going to have to take my paper because it's a difficult word. The star shall expipto. What does that mean? The stars of heaven shall expipto. I'll read you the definition. What?
Their lights go out.
Out is part of the definition. To be driven out of one's course. To lose, to become inefficient, to be cast away. Now, we're thinking of stars. Let's think of human spiritual stars, okay? Great preachers, great men of God. If they fall away, it means they are driven out of their course. In other words, they've gone from preaching the gospel of truth into something else, into politics, into showmanship, into entertainment, into luring people into prosperity, into luring their own prosperity or accumulating their own wealth. I mean, in other words, you've got something else that's your goal now instead of just being a simple servant of God. Servants of God, stars, servants of God, good stars. Paul, John, Peter, James, stars of God. They were not driven out of their course, but one of them was. One of them was. And he took a different course, didn't he? And it didn't turn out good for him at all. Amen. Well, I think we've gone far enough for today.
Can I make a little comment?
Yes, you can.
When it says that the stars will be shaken and the moon will turn into blood, even though there's been ages of terrible, terrible tyranny and satanic men in all the countries, not one of the stars has fallen. Those signs have not come yet.
Yes. There's more. Did somebody else have something?
That abandonment, when you're talking about apostasy.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of, you know, what's going on now. A lot of people are saying that Paul was not a real apostle.
Oh, yes.
That's right, yes.
And so what they're going to do is take all the epistles that Paul wrote, get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the Bible.
Right. Yeah.
Don't need them because they're not true. He's not an apostle like he claimed to be. And so they abandon, again, the Word of God because they have other motives that they want to promote. And Paul gets in the way.
Oh, but does he ever get in the way?
So let's just get rid of him.
I'm surprised the Roman Catholic Church hasn't done that many, many years ago because he is very, very straight on the things that he preached that they are totally violating.
No
totally.
Marriage,
yeah. I mean, in the last days, forbidding to marry. Yeah, that's Paul. It's going to happen in the last days. One of the signs.
The LGBTQZ, you know, whatever.
Lettuce, garlic, bacon, tomato, cucumber. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
But you know what? Right now, okay, if we just observe, like on a not deep level, this is still the sheepfold here. There's tons of churches and all that. But it says that because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold. And, you know, then people who really don't want to stand for the Lord, who are like superficial Christians, they're going to just walk away, as you say, and they will not help the ones, you know, we'll be through the fire ourselves. I hate to say it, but
we're going to be tested as to whether we are a real Christian or whether we're just saying we're a Christian. We like the name, we like the idea.
You know what? Through the centuries, those who really belong to Jesus have been persecuted. Some viciously, from the beginning, viciously. The apostles, look at how they done. It was vicious. And in China, even though you're saying they're cracking down on them now, well, they've been cracking down on them for years already. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's been better, sometimes it's been worse. And missionaries have gone over. There's all kinds of...
But the thing is, now they've got technology.
Right.
And they don't just have to send goons dressed in red shirts to your door to drag you out. Now they can do it with all the technology and the internet and the cameras and everything else. Mm-hmm.
And the Christian pastors who stood up for the Jewish people and hid them and all that stuff during the Nazi era, they were tortured. severely. It doesn't go entertaining about very many. I knew I had a friend who had a member of their family who was taken, and whether that was his name, I can't think of the guy's name. There was many who went through very, very bad things. I mean, this is not anything new. I mean, I hate to say it, not on. Okay, we have, it's relatively peaceful in this country. But you're right, Brother Larry, if we had what's-her-name come in, we'd start to see things really start to heat up for us and be shut down. And there would be, because of the suffering, there will be a great falling away.
Amen.
You know, I hate to say it.
Yes.
But that's it.
The other thing, right now, one of the worst laws that's been passed and going to be passed probably federally is this red flag law. And that's setting the stage for anybody to turn in their neighbor.
And
they don't have due plot.
No, they're going to the schools.
Yeah,
it's designed that children are to turn their parents in.
Yeah. Oh,
see, they're training the teachers. It's on the news last week.
Yeah.
They're going to the school. They're training the teachers to partake in this red flag law. Oh, my daddy's unstable. Well, let's go take his guns away. You know.
So they're again, you know, the thought police. Right?
Well,
talk about, you know, it's against. It actually breaks four of the amendments. The First Amendment, freedom of speech, because now people are not going to be able to talk anymore for fear of what's going to happen. It does away with due process. Of course, in case of the guns, it does away with the Second Amendment.
Yes, sir.
But it also does away with process. Oh, search and seizure.
Mm-hmm.
You can just come in and take your property. So you can see where this is going. If they can do it with guns, they can do it with kids. You know, they can do it, you know, take your kids away, whatever.
Well, we better be praying
Amen.
That the Lord will stop this, because otherwise, you know, this is just the beginning.
Amen. Would you have a prayer for us, brother?
Yes. This is why you have to pray and watch.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to watch what's going on in the government and in our land.
The thing with the children, it's also scriptural, so it's fulfilling the word of God, because it says that the parents, that the children shall rise up against their parents.
Yeah. Yeah, in this book, 1984, the young people had a club that they all belonged to called the Spies. Instead of Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts, it was called Spies. And the children were taught to spy on their parents.
Oh, Lord. Well, Lord, we thank you that you've given us wisdom and truth, Lord. And God, I pray that we would always look to you and seek your word and your direction in every matter, Lord. And God, I pray your protection and blessing upon brothers and sisters as they go their way. In Jesus' name, amen.